You know, the thing about ministry, you realize any Sunday, anytime you plan things, you just, somebody once said to me, the most important credentials for a missionary is to be flexible, flexible, and flexible. I guess if we can live that way in our life, we really have an opportunity to really see how God would move us, even by His Spirit, in times of need. And I'm just thankful how God meets the needs in our church, and thankful for you, each of you, your faithful service to the Lord, your faithful love, your faithful giving, your faithful support, your faithful encouragement. Can I keep going? Can I keep building you up? Sometimes we don't feel very built up. And how many people know somebody who gets really irritable when they're hungry? Do not push the person beside you. Okay. They kind of resemble this creature. Okay. Did you know that you can now find in the Oxford Dictionary, and this is like brand new, this is just fresh off the press, as of this past week, there's a new word now in the Oxford English Dictionary. The word is hangry. Okay, that's a blend of words which means hungry and angry. We all know people who look like that dog when they're hungry. I have looked like that dog, and sometimes Amanda said to me, Dad, last night I was hangry. I'm like, I get it. Sometimes we're not satisfied, and we've been eating junk, and we're feeding off the wrong stuff, and we wonder why our sugar's going crazy, and all this stuff, it fits into our physiology. Hangry is defined as bad-tempered, irritable, as a result of hunger. Pretty self-explanatory. Now, this is not the main point of the message, but it's probably going to be the one thing you're going to go home. I learned a new word at church today, hangry. I'm hangry, okay? Just take it. So we're all going to probably start throwing this word around. These words, they get momentum, right, in our lives. I want to look at Psalm 119 again today. We really just can't quickly get through Psalm 119. You're talking, it's 176 verses. It is the longest psalm in the entire scripture. But the real thing that I want to point out today, and I hope that you will see this as you would read Psalm 119, 33 to 40. And you know what? Every opportunity that we have to study the Word of God, whether it's from this pulpit or a Sunday school classroom, should just cause you to want to study the Word of God. That this should just be the pattern that we look at the Word of God, and that you go home and you look at the Word of God. And perhaps God's going to teach you something He didn't teach me. I mean, that's the other thing is sometimes we think, I can't know as much as that pastor. I can't know as much as Dennis. I just can't know because they're just like, these people know it. And that's a lie. You can know it. The Holy Spirit's your teacher, and He wants to magnify the Word of God to your heart. And He also does provide teachers to bring further clarity or point something out. Or maybe you haven't seen something as clearly as you should. And I'm so thankful that Dennis wants to sort through some of those verses in the Scripture that can sometimes bring anxiety to our own hearts, because it sure seems like that's what it says. And so that's really all about context. And that's probably one of the things that we hopefully are communicating here, is how important context of Scripture is. Because without context, you can create something that really isn't there. And information that comes to us really from the Word of God, we really want to understand that. So I want to talk about what does it mean to be hungry for the Word. And I want you to watch for these pleas just before we read the psalm. And they're on the back of your bulletin. You will see here in these eight verses, this little subset of eight verses, one of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet has developed this theme in the psalmist's thinking. But I really see four things here. He says, teach me, give me, make me, revive me. If you can come to the Word of God with teach me, give me, make me, revive me, you are developing a rhythm in your life and in your spiritual development that I believe will stay with you. I don't believe these principles are that. This is not rocket science, but it is sort of the science of the Word of God that you really want to know. How do I best understand the Scripture? And so let's read Psalm 119, 33 to 40. The psalmist says, I'm at verse 33. It should be up on the screen too. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Heavenly Father, Lord, please bring your word home to our hearts and make it just something that we see something differently than we have before, Lord. We thank you for the precious power of your of the word, and we thank you for the hungry psalmist who teaches us how to satisfy hunger with the truth of the scripture. We thank you that you are there to guide us even in learning, even in understanding, and being more equipped to live both a life of conquest and conquering. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I saw a few things here that I'd like to point out. The psalmist here is leading the way to find heavenly food. Everybody likes a good meal. They say that when you are on the military field and somebody brings in new provisions because these guys are starving, these men and women are possibly been fatigued, and somebody brings in those provisions, whether it's just needed nourishment, it's like it just brightens the day. And so often we are spiritually fatigued. Church is a way of you maybe becoming a little bit less spiritually fatigued, but I think the day that we're living in, there's just a lot of spiritual fatigue. I think if you're in tune to the pulse of the culture and things that are happening, all things news, all things that are happening, it can become discouraging. It's another stabbing. It's two more police officers shot. I mean, it's just you name it. I mean, we put provisions here in this place so that we have a safe place to worship. I mean, things that the church has to think about now. Perhaps in another day it was like, hey, our doors are wide open. Come on in, everybody. You just never know who may be coming. And so these are things that I think we live in anxious times, period, the end. And at times I believe that we become spiritually fatigued, and anxiety, you know, anxiety just can just build in our life just by living, by breathing. And so I believe there's heavenly food here for the spiritually fatigued. I also believe in this particular portion of scripture, there's nourishment for the saint who still needs more strengthening. Some of you are strong in the Lord and you're growing and you love the Lord, but you still need strengthening. You need ongoing strengthening. And then I believe there's spiritual sustenance for the one who's already been made strong. Somebody who has key things settled in their life. Once saved, always saved. You know, so there's food for everybody in the Word of God. There's food for the babe. There's food for the immature. There's food for the maturing. There's food for the one who still is on their way. You want to look at stories like Joshua, and how did Joshua stay focused? He was going to not let the law of the Lord depart from him. And so the law of the Lord in always is the whole counsel of God. It's not just a set of rules like I'm not going to let the Ten Commandments ever pass from me. There's so much more in the scripture than just the Ten Commandments. When we read this word law, say in Psalm 119, he's talking about the full revelation of God that they had at that time. So David was convinced that this is how he was going to feed his soul. It's the full revelation of God. We need to sometimes hear bad news about ourselves in order to get the good news. The bad news is that man is a sinner. He will come into God's presence. Apart from righteousness that is imputed to his account through Jesus, that man cannot stand in the presence of God. That woman cannot stand. So there's a whole theme of righteousness throughout the scripture that we are able to receive it. We're able to receive that as a gift. And then we grow up into that grace that can take a lifetime. And so if you are stumbling through growing, welcome to the planet. Growing is one of those things that every one of us is going to have to work at. Paul would say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so that doesn't mean that you should just be so scared, but recognize that you've got a great treasure that God has given to you, and you really need to know how to get yourself under that control of the Spirit of God so that as you navigate through this life, this sometimes very messy life, I mean, whose family today isn't being affected by something? And so you want to keep in mind that you can be nourished. I really believe that these four kind of themes that come from these eight verses are to help us. You know, there's no shame here. Lord, teach me, give me, make me, revive me. I mean, God is a generous giver. He wants us to not just settle for, I'm not worthy. We should just establish that you were made worthy by God because he's the one who did the heavy lifting. He's the one who did the work that would allow you to come into his presence, that you could know him and experience him. Growing in grace is a huge zone. Some people grow a lot and some people grow minuscule amounts. And sometimes we just need to know, what's it going to take for me to grow at a greater capacity? And sometimes I think what happens in our life is that we get knocked down, we get hurt, we have these experiences happen in our life, we don't progress, we don't move forward. I like what Webster's 1828 dictionary says: hunger means to desire with great eagerness, to long for. That's really hunger. What's really at the core of your hunger? I mean, how many times have you guys gone out for a good meal? Your wife's made a good meal. You've had a good meal in the home. And it's great, but it's like, it's not long before that hunger is being recreated, right? And somehow I think in our spiritual development, we don't take in continual nourishment as we should. This is the right attitude to come to the Word of God. Lord, I need to be in a constant state of wanting to be taught. I love this conversation. Jesus is rebuking Satan. No one understood better than Jesus how to rebuke the lies of the enemy. And if you look at Satan's fallen place, his fallen status, he still is given a place on the earth to carry out, really ultimately, a destruction to keep man from God. Yet God sends Christ so that that wouldn't have to be, that that would be completely remedied through his shed blood. And as Satan is sort of revealing all these things that Jesus could have, he says it this way: man, Jesus speaking to Satan, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So every part of the scripture is for our benefit. All of it. All of it. So we need to know that Jesus Christ is our ultimate solution for all of life. And he is always going to point us back to the scripture. Jesus would say in Matthew 5, just the next chapter over, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You want to develop a hunger and thirst for righteousness, not just for rules. You want to feed on the Word of God. You want to feed on the righteousness that God has given you freely and let that develop. And from that, it emerges good fruit, fruit that is lasting, fruit that will bless other people. It is so awesome to think that our living Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant, that I'm coming and my reward is with me. Isn't it awesome to know that Jesus wants to reward you? He wants to bless you. He wants your service to be used for him. It's just an exciting thing to think that if we see ourselves as these rescued, God-purchased sinners that Jesus loved, he put us into this wonderful status called saints. We are no longer sinners in God's eyes. We are saints. Our experience may still say, I still sin. In God's view, you are a saint. You are purchased. You are owned. You belong to him. This is how you change your thinking. You stop looking at yourself from the standpoint of how depleted I am. I believe the psalmist says, if you are constantly living with that sense of depletion, you need to come to him with this expectation. Lord, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. I'm telling you, the more we get settled in the scripture, the more we can stay focused on what God wants for our lives. It's so amazing that the power of this word, as it's working out in our lives, it carries us. We're moved by the Spirit. You know your own life. You know, like, things just will come up in any of our lives. And how many times has something just tried to move you off of your firm footing in Jesus Christ? Because Satan is an enemy, and he would love for you to not appreciate Jesus, to stop appreciating what he's done for you. And I think as you say, how do I hunger and thirst after righteousness? You come to God and say, I am hungry. I want to be taught by you, Lord. I want to know this. And there's so much room. There's so much grace in this passage. You think about some of the things that the psalmist points out here. He's not saying, I'm so worthy that I deserve this. He's coming to God as a person who needs this. He understands the character of God. You and I should understand the character of God, mainly that we would see it clearly expressed at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God did not hold anything back from any of us that we could know him fully and know him now. Paul would say, I want to know him. I want to know this resurrection life that can be at work in this body. I can know him better. I can understand him better. I like what somebody points out. The Bible is a collection of 66 books written by 40 different authors on 3 different continents in 3 different languages over a period of 1,500 years, yet all 66 books have marvelous unity. You have a library of Bible resource right in your hands, right on your phone. And so you want to continue to develop the hunger and take it from the psalmist who will teach you how to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I think you see this in so many of the Bible characters. And like that span of history reports, 1,500 years, it's not like these guys all got together and said, hey, you're going to write about this. I'm going to write about this. The Spirit of God led these men to write these books. And they in the Spirit of God directed, but there's a unity in the Scripture, and there's a complete consistency in the Scripture, and we want to wrestle with those things. We want our lives to become more and more built on the rock that I mentioned in the opening part of the service. You know, I love it when the disciples are hearing some pretty strong teaching from Jesus. You almost want to classify that stuff as meat, the hard stuff. Sometimes Jesus will say hard stuff, and you'll see that as he lays out the kingdom gospel in Matthew. And it's like, what gives here? Look at in John when we don't have to turn there, but I'm going to summarize it for you the best that I can. Are you with me? Okay. You're awake. All of you. Even though you stayed up late last Sunday night and watched that game, you did recover, right? We all need a good recovery. You remember when those were gathered around Jesus, and Jesus is speaking some really strong words. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. And it says many departed from him. Like who can do this? And perhaps they really understood that what he's saying, this is serious stuff. Like, this is him. This is like taking in his word. This is understanding what he's really saying. And as others left and he looks to his disciples, he says, are you going to go too? And Peter says, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And so isn't that great where we have these very clear pictures in the Scripture that Christ is the source of all life. And where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. I can't go anywhere from you. Where can I flee from your spirit? Remember the psalmist says in Psalm 139, you know, I can't flee from you. And you want that knowledge more than anything. You want, and no matter what the circumstance going on in your life, that you have permission before God to say, teach me. Oh my goodness, if we would just get this, like I'm clueless and I need to be taught by the Spirit of God through the Word of God in my life. And so number two, look at what David says here. Give me understanding. I like it sometimes. You know, like I was with my son Aaron Friday night up at the Kingston Collection. He's got a little activity center. He can go up there. And this little boy's in the he's also in this little recreation area. He's like, play with me. Play with me. Like he's dribbling a little ball. And I'm like, sure, let's play together. My son wants to go bounce on his big thing there. But this kid's like, he was not shy. He was not bashful. He's like, play with me. I'm like, how can I refuse that kid? And I think sometimes we need to think, and that's why I think Jesus honors children, because they would just, they'd run to him. There's no, and so often in our lives, we kind of forget that. I can come to him. I am in desperate need. I am childlike. I need to see myself, not staying immature, but childlike dependency on the Lord. That Satan would want to rob you from that. You know, you're too sophisticated for that. Look, we got big screens and we got everything and I got an iPhone, you know, and we got all this stuff kind of coming at us like we're so technologically advanced that we know all this good stuff now. You are still in need to be given things by him. Give me understanding. I just love this. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. In other words, if you do this for me, it's going to open up other things in my life. If I get this understanding, it's going to progress into other areas. I shall observe it with my whole heart. I tell you, when I fellowship with my brother Dennis, sometimes I'm just amazed at how layered and wonderful the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. And like, we just see these little glimpses of like, what's coming? We're eternal creatures. We're going to be with God forever and ever. And we're working it out here in a very messy environment. Not this place. Just life. Life outside of this place. We're trying to keep this place clean and good at all times. But seriously, and you know what? The wonderful thing about the local church is that we understand each other has real possibilities for messes. And so if you ever share with me, it's like, you know what? I'm not judging you. I know where, I know me. I know my own family. I know struggles that we have as a family. But I would teach you this, that you can say, Lord, teach me. Give me. I just love the freedom here that we can just, you know, run to the Lord with this expectation that he wants to. And as you see this theme increasing, this is a building theme throughout this psalm. I mean, this is just like, everything with you, Lord, is what I need. However, knowing me, I will go elsewhere. I will go in different directions. But as God gives us more, we want to stay in that vine. We want to stay. We want to continue to develop in our appreciation for him, our love for him, because I love him because he first loved me, right? That's always the basis of anything. That's why salvation is a gift. It is by grace. You can't earn it. You couldn't earn it. You'll never earn it. You could never be good enough to earn it. And therefore, as you receive it, God wants to develop it. And so there's adjustments that go on in our lives along the way. And you know what? As we sang today, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. If you can cleanse me from everything and you will never bring up my sin up ever again, why wouldn't I just continue to grow in this matchless grace? Don't you see the strength that is possible as that understanding is developed, like the potential for what that could mean in our lives as we deal with some of those hangry people? Remember those, you know, you are going to deal with hangry people, okay? They're just out there. And hangry people are not going away, but hangry people can actually become satisfied. They can learn to hunger and thirst for righteousness the way that you are, the way that you're growing. And so, and look at this. Look at number three. David says in Psalm 119, verse 35, make me. Oh my goodness. Form me. Make me. Another time we could develop this more, but there's some really good insight at the end of John's gospel where you can just only imagine how, which is a good song, but that's not what I'm going to do right now. You can only imagine what Peter must have felt like knowing that he knows the Lord is resurrected. He's seen the Lord. And then this conversation that occurs with Peter and with Jesus about, you know, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And, you know, and then in this Jesus is giving instruction. Many believe that this is the restoring conversation, the reassuring conversation, the helpful conversation, the one that Peter really needed to have with Jesus. But Jesus goes on to say, another will lead you where you do not wish to go. And I really believe here, when you see where the psalmist is saying, make me. The Spirit will often prompt us and make us do things that we would not naturally do. We would not want to do it. How many times have you looked back on your life and you're like, I can't believe I actually was given that ministry opportunity. I can't believe that God opened that door for me. Who do you think led you there? Who do you think opened that up for you? Who do you think brought you into this place? Who do you think's leading you? And sometimes it doesn't make sense. I look back in the early days of our ministry here over 2 years ago. And when we first came in here, there's a lot of things that I wasn't sure. God, what are you doing here? Do you really want our family to be a part of this ministry? Through that process, it just seems like God was confirming one thing after another. And I would have been like, well, this isn't exactly how I saw it going. But God had a different plan, and I am so thankful for what he's done. I'm so thankful that ministry really is life with life, and it's fleshing out our wonderful and glorious salvation in a way that we can trust God by his Spirit to move us, even when we don't want to. You should expect resistance in your life, okay? It's not coming from God, it's coming from you. Because you have this old, uncooperative, dead sin nature in God's eyes, but it's still very much alive in our experience. And so we're going to struggle with that. But that's what the Who comes in to deal with that but the Holy Spirit of God, who births in us a brand new nature where the Holy Spirit can dwell and not bounce in and out like, oh my goodness, you blew it again. Oh, you know, and God just walks away from you. Now, God does discipline us, but never out of frustration and anger. He disciplines us always in love. And so you can rest assured that if you find that uncooperative spirit operating in you, okay, well, Romans 7 is your solution. Romans 7 will always point you back to, I really believe, what David is saying here. Teach me, give me, make me. And that you, so just be good in one sense, that in God's eyes, that old sin nature is gone. It's in God's eyes. It's not gone in your experience, but in God's eyes, it's dealt with. It's paid for in full. Don't call yourself, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's just bad thinking. I have saint status before a holy God. God imputes the same righteousness that is in Jesus Christ to your account. And if that doesn't give you hope, I got nothing else for you. Nothing. Because there is nothing. And Patriots could have cranked out another Super Bowl victory. That ain't getting it done when it comes to what you really need to know that you're right with God. Isn't that just awesome? It's just awesome how good our Lord is. That's why he says, revive me. I have been made alive in Jesus Christ, but I just need to be revived. I need to be brought up to my real experience of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want to be revived, and I want to be able to be sustained for the long haul. I've just been thinking about this theme of conquest and conquering, and this is really what we're after. We just don't want to settle for, hey, I'm saved, you know, I'm just saved, and that's good, Listen, if that's all people do is get saved, I celebrate that and thank God. But there's some territory that we need to take. We need to be willing to take that territory. We need to be willing to say, you know what? I'm going out. This Steve McQueen movie is something I really think is, it touches a nerve in the heart of so many people. Because if you look at the life of Steve McQueen, and you'll see it up on that screen in the fellowship hall, it shows a guy that has everything. He had a rough childhood. He had all these things, but he made some success in his life, and he became very good at what he did, but he got to this point, and he's like, something's not right. And let me show you a quote from Steve McQueen. And I think the warning here in Psalm 119, where David says here, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. You know, sometimes we think that if I just get more, if I have more, I'll be happier. And look what he says here. Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. And Steve says, I cut myself short, and a lot of my life I wasted. You know, I've done things I wish weren't in my life. I believe that's here. That's the worthless things that we can look back and say, huh, really wasn't all that. And so instead of guilting you up and say, go do a bunch of things that are worthful, you know, that are... You can't just go do that either. You can't just get nervous. And all of a sudden, you need to be under the control of the Spirit, that the Spirit would lead you to the things that are beneficial and helpful. That's what happens sometimes, I think, in teaching, is that, you know, me or somebody, never Dennis, can point out maybe a weakness in my life, and I'm thinking, well, I gotta shape up. Right? That's always kind of the thing in our life. It's like, I gotta shape up. Well, you can't shape up in your own flesh. It ain't going to happen. I know that's terrible grammar. Sorry. But it's just not going to happen. You can't just shape up. What you can do is become more committed to trusting the Spirit of God with that simple plea, Lord, teach me, give me, make me, revive me. Revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach. You know that, and we know in Jesus Christ, our reproach has been turned away. Our standing, you know, we can sometimes be so dreading our own knowledge of ourselves. And I think there's a lot of Christians, and I'm so thankful, Dennis, you're going to hit on this next Sunday, is that there are times in our life where we can be moved off of knowing that we are saved, once saved, always saved. And if that gets disrupted and we go to the side where we start to say, man, I can still see this stuff. I'm not happy with it. I still have problems. And my goodness. And you know how many people have actually not gone any further in their life because something, and I believe Satan, the master accuser, looks to bring up stuff in our thinking, in our lives that was real in our experience. I mean, you look at Steve McQueen. I mean, this is a guy had everything, but by the end of his life, as you'll see on that night of the movie, he knew he was right with God. But we have to keep ourselves in that knowledge, and that's what I think will happen if we think like the psalmist here. Revive me, turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. I long for them. Jesus, where are we going to go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? So I think this is the idea that we want to keep coming back to him, the author of the word. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You are new in Jesus, whether you feel it or not. We just like to feel it, right? How many people is a feeler here? I'm a feeler. I like to feel. And I just want to say, though, even in that, sometimes you just got to go with what's fact, what's truth. Feeling is sometimes going to be fleeting. It doesn't always just stay with you. I think as you make your experience in the Word of God with expectation, I need more. Lord, give me. I'm your child, you know. I can't wait to come into your presence. I'm told to come into your presence boldly by the Scripture. Boldly come before the throne of grace with confidence in your time of need. Come to him boldly. I like bold children, like I said, you know, they're just fun. Hey, my son will just run in, Dad, you know, and sometimes he just blurts it out, and we're like, Aaron, time out. Like, okay, there's an order here, you know. I think we can increase our dependency and our hunger for the Word of God and learn it better. Learn it. And I just want to share with you just a couple of scriptures, and I want to wrap up here. Peter points out two wonderful promises from both the Psalms and from Isaiah. He says, all flesh is as grass, which is us, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. There are going to be times in your life that the only enduring force operating within you is going to come right from this book. I can't even tell you how many people tell me that they've been so blessed by Psalm 23 in their moment of weakness, in their moment. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David would say, restore to me, listen to this, in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. God's spirit is a generous spirit. He's generous. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. There's a lot going on in David's life at the time that he writes this psalm, and many of you know it. It's Bathsheba, it's murder, it's a bunch of stuff. And he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Not, I lost it. I lost the joy of it. Experientially, I lost the joy of your salvation. And see, the end result here, when we're restored and we come to God knowing he's got a generous spirit, we're able to teach others who may be like us at one point in our own life. Like we forgot. Like we were just clueless. We forgot. And there are times where Christians can become clueless and they forget who they belong to. They forget already the wonderful things that they possess. But God never leaves you. Never forsakes you. As Amanda played on the offertory today, and with this I'll close in prayer. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. That's what you and I need. Lord, take my heart. Seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I belong to you. Teach me. Give me. Make me. Revive me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you are the ultimate instructor, You are the teacher of teachers. You set the table, a banquet table, that we could come, we could feed, we could eat, we could be nourished. We can complete this cycle over and over again, and it never ends. And we need this more than ever, more than we probably even realize, Lord, how much we need to be fed by the true knowledge of the living Word of God. Jesus loved us. He died for us. He gave up His life for us. He nourishes us. He comforts us with His Spirit. He protects us, and we thank You. Lord, we need You. Father, I pray for anyone here today who says, I need this in my life. I need to be more willing to be taught in the Word of God. Father, I pray that this would develop, that we are people who say, we too need to be taught by the Word of God. We need to be instructed in the way. Thank You for Your eternal, everlasting faithfulness, secured by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen.